This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. It is a Throwback Thursday. SportsMap Radio, it is Wake Up Call. Glad you could be with us. If you would like, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Coming up this hour, Bobby Belt will join us. We'll talk Dallas Cowboys. What is exactly going on with that team that's 2-4 now? Stories of rumblings within the locker room against Mike McCarthy. We'll talk about that situation and also the loss of Dak Prescott. We know what it means statistically. How emotionally devastating is it to this team? What has he meant to the team and to lose him for the season? We will also go over the games in the NFL, the good, the not so good, the ones you should watch, and maybe the ones you can avoid. We'll go through the schedule. In looking at teams going into week 7, the Patriots are 2-3. They'll be hosting San Francisco coming up. And 2-3 this late in the season, you have to go back to 2002 before you find a Patriots team that has a below 500 record this deep into the season. Now, that year, they came off the Super Bowl championship against the Rams and then did not make the playoffs the next year. And then we know what happened the rest of the way after that. Sports can be really funny sometimes. When you're in the moment, you can say all the things. You can root against a dynasty. You can root against their success. You can loathe when they win a championship. But I also think time does allow people to sort of take a step back and say, you know what? I may not have liked that team for 1 minute of 1 second of any moment of their run, but now that I'm 10 years removed or 5 years removed, I can really appreciate what they've done. It's very early in the game to do that, but when somebody brings up a statistic like that, where they say, hey, by the way, the Patriots haven't been below 500 this deep in since 2002, even when we're just a year removed from the Brady Belichick era coming to an end or ending, you can still look back and go, yeah, man, that is pretty amazing. Everybody has ups and downs. Everybody has those moments where the season's just not going their way, an injury here, an injury there. For a Patriot fan not to experience a below 500 team by week 6 since 18 years is so remarkable. All of the things that they've done, all the success they have, it's still eye-opening, some of the numbers and some of the statistics they still have produced during that era. It's Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
It is 2001. We go back, and this is the debut of PTI on ESPN with Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon. I thought it was a groundbreaking show at the time. It still kind of holds its own almost 19 years later. But this song is 19 years old. Now, you know what? Put me in the old folks home now. Yeah. If this song is 19 years old.
Song's 19 years
old.
You've got
to be kidding me. Golly, time is just compressed. If you had played this, I would have told you maybe 7, 8.
Yeah.
I really would have guessed, all right, maybe 10. If you had told me 10, I would have been like, all right, that makes sense. Maybe I heard
19 years? 19 years since this song played.
Unbelievable.
Oh, just wait. We got a couple more.
I can't wait. I can't wait to feel terrible about my old age.
Yeah, we always got to have that earwormy at the end. So
that's right. That's right. All right. Before we get to the schedule of games, a reminder, Freol, deep penetrating oil. And hey, man, you don't need much of this stuff. You got 3 times more of the lubricant, so it takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Freol is body shop safe. It means that's safe on paint, plastic parts, silicon free. Use it for rusted bolts, stuck ball joints, corroded U-bolts, anything that you just can't seem to loosen up. Freol, again, 3 times more lubricant. You can find it at AutoZone, O'Reilly, and Napa Auto Parts Store. Freol deep penetrating oil. All right, let's get going with the NFL schedule. Let's start tonight. We don't usually do a Thursday night game, but since I'm off tomorrow, we'll throw that in the pot. New York at Philadelphia. Are we watching this because the winner of the division could actually come from this game? Because there's a possibility for everybody to win the
division? Or are we watching this because literally there will be nothing else on TV tonight?
That's right. That's right.
Because even Fox is going NFL over that debate that's going on tonight.
That is right. There's a debate tonight, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't want to watch politics, you can dump yourself into the Giants-Philadelphia game.
I think it's a bold move by Fox to say, you know what? We're going to go football instead, guys.
That's right. We're not turning off any microphones here. You get Giants and Eagles, and you're going to like it.
No, in fact, we're going to keep the microphones on because Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are calling this game. You never know what they're going to say.
You never know what they're going to say. Maybe they'll criticize a puppy. I don't know. Who knows? Great old Buck just jumped on the plane from Arlington, flew out to Philadelphia to watch tonight's football game.
Yeah, no
because
big deal.
America needs Joe Buck this time of year.
No big deal.
Can't get enough. By the way, in all seriousness, both teams won win. The Giants are 1-5. The Eagles are 1-4-1, and they're just a game behind Dallas, leading the division at 2-4. So
God, I don't even have words for this.
Yeah, you
the
really.
The winner of this game might be in first place at
so,
the end of the night.
The watchability scale, let's give it a 4.5 because it's going to be better than the debate, and you never know what you might get with this with these two teams. Watch it anyway. How about the Lions and the Atlanta Falcons to kick off your noon schedule on the East Coast? A 1 o'clock game on the East Coast.
It's a tasty one.
Oh, boy, this is going to be good. By the way, Matt Ryan, I know I've been very vocal about the Falcons in the past. Matt Ryan was just named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his road win against the Minnesota Vikings.
Of course he was.
Of course he was. Threw four touchdowns. Why not? The Lions at 2-3. I honestly couldn't care less who wins this game.
Yeah. I don't even know if Atlanta cares at this moment.
I don't either. I don't know.
Detroit does. They don't have anything going for them.
The Hawks basketball season start yet? I don't know. Now, this is a one. I mean, it's really.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. How about Cleveland against Cincinnati? The Browns won this game in week two. They're coming off a loss to Pittsburgh. They're banged up a bit. Cincinnati can't win close games. Bengals it got Joe Burrow. I think watching Joe Burrow is fun. Let's see if the Browns bounce back. I'm not going to bury this game because the Bengals aren't very good. But I'm not going to, it doesn't get a 4 or 5 star. I'll give it a 3, 3.5. It's a little bit worth your attention.
Yeah.
If Cleveland's going to mess around in playoff conversation, they got to put a team like this away. See what happens. See how they bounce back. Now, if you're lucky enough to get this game, God bless you. Pittsburgh and Nashville and playing the Tennessee Titans. Here's my dilemma. The Steelers are 5-0 for the first time in my fandom, second time in franchise history. The Tennessee Titans are my local team. I have put up with bad Tennessee Titans on my TV for years before they started getting good. This game would be the premier game in my house, except I'm not going to be home this weekend. I'm going to be in sunny Florida, and who knows what nonsense I'm going to get on my parents' television when I go visit them this weekend. I'm really bummed about this. Beyond words am I bummed about this. I wanted to see this game so bad a couple of weeks ago. And now they come when I leave town? You got to be kidding. This is 5, 5.5, 6 on every level. Both of these teams are playing great right now. The big conversation in this one is going to be the Steelers' defense without Devin Bush. Do they hold back a Titans offense that's rolling with both Ryan Tannehill and the AFC Offensive Player of the Week in Derrick Henry? This is an excellent matchup. Man, I never would have thought that at the beginning of the season, that this game would be the premier game of the weekend, but it is. How about Carolina against New Orleans at the Superdome? The Saints are back from a bye week. Michael Thomas, if healthy, will play. He's off that one-game punch-a-teammate suspension that Sean Payton likes to give out to people. But how about Teddy Bridgewater coming back to New Orleans? He did so well filling in for Drew Brees last year that it earned him a starting NFL job, one of 32 in this league. This is the Panthers against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, but still not tasty, though.
It's not tasty because the Saints are kind of ordinary right now. I'm sorry. The Saints are not world beaters, and Carolina's not either. They're both kind of middle-of-the-road teams right now. Doesn't mean they're going to finish out that way, but both are like the Carolina's 3-3, and the Saints are 3-2. They're not exactly knocking on the door of greatness on either one of these teams. So it's got some nice storylines, but it's not your premier game or one of the premier games. It could have been. If the Saints were rolling along and the Panthers showed some life like they do right now, it had potential. But both teams are all right. How about Buffalo against the Jets? Wouldn't it be just like the NFL if the Jets won this game?
No, don't do that to us, please.
No, I don't want to do that to you because I want the Bills to be good. I want Buffalo to be decent. I want the Buffalo Bills to win the division. I don't want them messing around in the muck of the Meadowlands. I don't want them flirting around with somebody that might steal a win. No. No. The Jets are terrible. Stay terrible. Stay where you belong and let Buffalo win this game and bounce back from a two-game losing skid. That was a bad week for Buffalo when they lost to both Tennessee and the Chiefs. That's a bad week. Give them the Jets as sort of a, you know, cleanse your wounds type of right. game and get back on track.
Right the ship.
Right the ship. It should be, I don't even know what the point spread is for this one, but it should
13.
Be very, very, 13. It should be extremely high.
Yeah, probably will go up as the games get closer.
All right, how about Dallas against that Washington football team we talked about last hour?
Well,
with the big old W.
You know, I would have thought for sure Cowboys just going to roll into D.C. and roll stop them, but we don't know now.
The same thing we said about the Giants and the Eagles is the same thing we're saying about this one. Watch it because the winner of this game could win the division. Could be your lousy playoff team when we get there in January.
So let's see. If we really want anarchy in the NFC East, we need the Giants to win and Washington to win.
Yeah, that's right.
Because then there's going to be complete anarchy.
Now, I saw an article, and I didn't get a chance to read it. I'm curious. Maybe I'll read it on the road or something. Somebody calculated how, because I thought this was impossible. Somebody calculated how the winner of the division could have four victories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe
it. And I kind of want to read it to find out why. Like you kind of think about it and you go, yeah, you guess so, right? You think, well, if you beat each other up, if everybody just beats each other up, yeah, no one's going to emerge. And if they lose all the other games on the schedule, you could have a 4-12 winner of the NFC East. That will give Roger Goodell a headache. Absolute headache.
Well, that's when you sit back and go, and we're giving these guys a home game. Why?
That's right. That's right. All right. The final afternoon affair on Sunday is Green Bay and Houston. I'm sorry. This had really good written all over it, didn't it?
It did.
The beginning of the season. This could have been one of those games you would have put on Sunday night. It you know, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it had every potential. Green Bay still has it, even though they got blown out by Tampa Bay. But Houston, that season's over, man. 1-5. I know there's an extra playoff team, but I don't know how you rebound from that.
It's amazing that it's 1-5.
I know.
That they're 1-5. That's the hard part to try to fathom. Like, yeah. You guys are 1-5?
And as we said, listen, the schedule makers did them no favors at the beginning of the year. Chiefs, Ravens, and Steelers right off the bat with two of those games on the road. But you beat a Minnesota team that stinks. You know, I'm glad to beat Jacksonville. Tennessee's a tough out, but that game was manageable and went into overtime. So they have nobody to blame really but themselves at 1-5. But this could have been really good. It's not so good. Still could be very entertaining. You're still talking about two really good quarterbacks. Maybe they'll put on a show. Maybe the records are thrown out the window and this becomes a fun show. I'll give it a 3.5.
I mean, yeah, there's some interest to watch it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they lose, they go 1-6. Not too many teams are winning division at 10-6.
All right, the Sunday afternoon games, including the Sunday night and Monday night matchups when we come back. Everyone's temperature varies throughout the day. It is important that you screen for fever in the morning and in the evening. Fever is a sign of COVID-19. Stay safe with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. All right, we will talk about the afternoon games coming up next. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
A Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Throwback Thursday 2001. Is this Pink?
Yes.
19 years ago, Pink was producing hit. What am I doing here? This is
Have
great.
You ever? Okay, I did this
How
the other day.
How old is Pink that she had a hit 19 years ago?
I did this the other day, right? I was just going through. I was like, you know what? Pink seems to be one of those artists that just is always around.
Yeah.
I was amazed at how many of her songs I knew.
So she's got a lot of hits.
She has got a ton of hits. You're sitting there listening like, holy crap, this is her? I can't believe this is her.
It's amazing. And now that I found out 19 years ago she was on the charts.
Yep.
That's crazy. Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, and restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, let's get back to what we were doing, which is the NFL schedule, as we count down and go through the league this weekend to tell you what you should watch and what you shouldn't watch. Now we're into the second games of the doubleheaders, the 4 o'clock East Coast games, or as Ron likes to call them, the still early Pacific time games.
Well, then. Now,
1 p.m.
Now, you know, early afternoon.
So, Seattle takes on Arizona. Boy, do I like this one. I like this one. Yeah. This is very interesting.
This one, and I still will say this, that if the World Series is wrapped up Saturday night, Joe Buck is calling this game.
I think so.
Never mind. It won't be wrapped up Saturday night.
Oh, no. They've got a game five. So he's not going to be able to do it. It'll be
somebody else in Troy.
Darn it. Seattle, one of three unbeaten teams left, and Arizona is just spunky enough to knock them off that pedestal.
Yep.
And Seattle's finding themselves in close games. And that's a little dangerous. I know they're pulling them out, but what if Arizona, you play around with fire, you get burned by the Cardinals, who've got to feel pretty good after their nice shellacking of the Cowboys?
It's a good game. Good team.
It's a good team. Good team, good game. This is a good one.
Yeah. I think they're definitely a playoff-bound team, I think, at this point.
And by the way, and I was saying this to, Eric Edholm earlier this week.
Yeah.
Listen, I lived in Colorado for a while, and Denver always had kind of the late afternoon game, but I don't get to see Arizona very much. They're not on national TV a lot. They don't seem to be the afternoon game in places I've lived.
Well, they haven't been relevant.
So, of course, they get one national game, and I've seen them then. But you don't get to see them consistently. If you get this game, watch it. I mean, this is a good one. This is a good one in the West, the toughest division in the NFL. How about Kansas City and Denver? This used to be a rivalry, but the Chiefs have won the last 8. The last quarterback to beat them was Peyton Manning, I think, in 2015. Or maybe it was Brock Osweiler. Who cares? It's been that long.
Who's the quarterback for the Broncos now, anyways?
It looks like it's Drew Locke,
I think. Is it going to be Drew Locke?
I think he's back from the shoulder injury. So there you go.
Yeah, that's not good.
This is nothing.
I think this is a, you know, here's what, you know what, you know what to watch for? What weird play is Andy Reid going to drop next?
That's true. And by the way, don't get suckered into this is a rivalry, throw out the records. No, you can keep the records because this is going to go Kansas City's way. Trust me.
Yep.
This will be fine. This is good. Denver's not ready yet to be on that level of competition with the Kansas City Chiefs. How about San Francisco and New England? Yeah, this is not necessarily a must-win for the Patriots, but let's not lose 3 in a row and set the whole Patriot Nation into panic, okay? Let's not do that.
And they're going up against a pesky team. I mean, this is Jimmy Garoppolo going home.
Going home, yep. And he doesn't get to do it much on the 49ers. They only play each other once every 4 years.
And can I say this real quick? Man, who did the Niners make mad to have 3 of East Coast games?
Yeah, right? Good point.
They went to New York twice. But they didn't even bother going home. They just stayed in West Virginia.
And then boogied right back.
And now they're going back to New England again.
Yeah.
Back to the East Coast. This is amazing.
Mozart may be out dealing with an ankle injury. Again, the Patriots coming off a bad loss to Denver, which the Broncos only needed 6 field goals. That's all they got
and
to beat them.
I don't know if you heard it, but Bill Belichick was gushing all over George Kittle.
Yeah, that's right.
Which doesn't help my fantasy team out, because now that I know that Belichick has his eye on Kittle, do I even bother starting Kittle?
Good point. By the way, I'm 0-6 and I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
I'm tanking for Derrick Henry next season.
You're tanking for Trevor next year.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That number one overall pick.
Again, that number one. They better give it to me if I play next year. They just rig it. I am getting throttled every single week. My team stinks.
Hey, you get Michael Thomas back.
Oh my God. I've been a punching bag for the Sports Map Fantasy League for the first 6 weeks of the season. Jacksonville against the Chargers. Boy, here's a fun statistic about Jacksonville in researching this one. Jacksonville has lost 5 in a row, but those 5 losses, they've allowed over 30 points in each one of those games. So apparently, if you are struggling scoring or just want to look good or want to pad some statistics, this is the team you play. because they'll be more than happy to let you do that. So Justin Herbert could look like a Pro Bowler by the time he's done carving up the Jacksonville defense coming up at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. So, no. I mean, watch it because you're a fan, Ron.
But, yes. Oh, no, I will be. You know, I'm watching it because I'm loving me some Justin Herbert right now. And
yeah,
this is true. Fun. I think this is a fun game for him. That'll be okay. You know, this is. I don't want to say target practice, but it has the potential to be target practice for him.
Good point. Yep. So, Tampa Bay against Las Vegas, and this is Tom Brady and against the Raiders. I remember a couple of years ago when they had a tuck rule situation. What was that like? 18 years ago?
Is that 2001 or 2002?
I think it was 2001. January of 2002.
Okay.
Was when that occurred. So that was technically 19 years ago if you want to do the whole, it was the 2001 season thing. All right. So
that's amazing, too. I can remember vividly where I was when I saw that one.
I remember, too. I know where I was living. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I was kind of excited when the Raiders recovered that ball because I had like a bunch of my friends were driving me crazy with this Patriots are awesome thing, and the Steelers were going to play them in the AFC Championship game. And I remember kind of excited that nonsense was going to calm down, and it didn't. And then it kept going when they beat the Steelers and then went on to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm still confused by the play. I've watched replays of it.
I know.
People explain it to me. I'm still confused.
Now, I have a question because I do believe cream rises to the top and eventually Brady would find excellence. But what if this didn't go the Patriots' way and the Raiders recovered and it was Raiders' ball and the Patriots' season came to an end? Does the dynasty kick in at another point, or do you think, like, the butterfly effect, right? Like, or does that whole Patriots era kind of get off to a slower start? Certainly helps when your young quarterback nobody knows wins a Super Bowl and you go, he's the guy now. I know Belichick was trying to get rid of Bledsoe and everything and probably would have, I know, but butterfly effect, if that was Raider ball, what would have happened to the dynasty? Do we think we'd end up seeing it anyway, or would it have been sort of piecemealed together?
I mean, it has to have happened, right? No
right?
matter what.
Exactly. But Brady's off to a great start, 4-2, 14 touchdowns. And the Raiders are a team to not mess around with. I think this is a fun game to watch on Sunday night. How about the Bears and the Rams? Are we buying 5-1 for the Bears?
No.
Is this the quietest 5-1 football team we've seen in a while?
They're not 5-1.
We are not buying this whatsoever.
They are not 5-1. I refuse to believe you when you say that they are 5-1.
This is a pretty good defense. Nick Foles isn't bad, right? But come on, really?
Here it is. If they beat the Rams, and it doesn't have to be a solid beat. I mean, if they just come away from this game with a win, no matter how they get it, I will then start to believe in the Bears. But right now, no.
No.
I can't.
No. It's 5-1.
It's not in my DNA to think that a Nick Foles / Mitchell Trubisky team is 5-1.
All right, so they're going to face a Rams team that's 2-0, and then they've got the Saints and the Titans in the next three games. This could tell us a little bit more about
they're 4-2.
I'm sorry, what did I say? 2-4. Oh no, 2-0. Oh, that's 2-0 at home. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong stat. 4-2. The Bears will play them, and then the Saints and the Titans. So I guess we'll get a little bit better read exactly what they are.
You know, in the next three games. This will be a first too. The grounds crew at SoFi Stadium's got to do a quick changeover.
Oh, they do.
I don't think they've had to do that yet because Chargers and Rams both have home games this weekend, so they got to tear up the end zone and throw in the Rams one.
So we'll see this in action, right?
I'm certain they'll have video of it.
Yeah, we'll see. Like they'll give us a video of that. Well, that's pretty awesome. All right, there's your games. For week 7 of the National Football League. Temperatures vary throughout the day. Taking your temperature just in the morning isn't enough. Make it a family habit to get your temperature with the Exergen Temporal Scanner before dinner in the morning. It's the number one thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. All right, Bobby Belt's going to join us next. We're going to talk about the Cowboys at 2-4. Kind of a mess. How much of a mess? Stick around and find out. It's Wake Up Call, Sportsman Radio.
Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
It is a Throwback Thursday 2001. The Dallas Cowboys at 2-4. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Bobby Belt joining us. He is the host of the Boys and Girl podcast on The Herd now, also NFL Network field producer. He is one of the best insiders that we have ever had on the Cowboys. This is why we go to him all the time when the Cowboys are in the news. How are you, my friend?
Hey there. How's it going?
All right. So the rumblings are already occurring through the rumor mill that there's some problems in the locker room and players calling out Mike McCarthy anonymously. Is there truth to this? What do you sense from the way this team has started the season?
I mean, I absolutely believe there's truth to guys are unhappy. I don't think, you know, Jane would have fabricated that. But I think that the question becomes, is it, you know, a couple of bad apples, or is it just, you know, one or two guys or whatever that decided that they were frustrated enough that they were ready to speak out, and that those are just the first ones that decided to speak out. But I think overall there's a level of frustration when you're 2-4 and you felt like you were on the cusp of something, and you're now proven to be not as good as you thought you were. And so I think naturally it's a little bit to be expected. I think the long-term question for the Cowboys is this something that's just a temporary frustration that people are letting, you know, take over a little bit, take over their culture temporarily? Or is this a long-term concern? I think that's probably something that the Cowboys are wrestling with right now.
It may be more difficult because of COVID in terms of access to what's actually going on a day-to-day basis, but is the McCarthy regime dramatically different than what the players were used to under Jason Garrett?
I know the McCarthy regime is incredibly different just from our perspective on the media side. Because access is much tighter than it would be with Jason Garrett, and not just because of COVID restrictions. Things are tighter in Dallas than a lot of places around the league during this COVID season. And I know that there's been, we've heard talk about, you know, McCarthy instructed players not to respond to media members' texts and, you know, kind of wanted some shutout things. I think, honestly, a big part of that is McCarthy was used to running things a certain way in Green Bay. And you can probably get away with running things a little bit more privately there. And there's not really the same sort of spotlight. You can deal with things internally without, you know, 3-4 reporters trying to bang down your door and get the story. And I think there's still an adjustment there. And I think that when what we've seen at practice and the way things are done there, we see that's different for the players from their perspective. We've seen what's different from our perspective in terms of the way things are handled. I think there's definitely some strong differences here. And that may be contributing to part of it is, are they just going through, you know, their lumps, going through some growing pains and trying to adjust to this, and they're just having a hard time adjusting, or is this generally a long-term bad fit between these players and these coaches? And if it's a bad fit, then the question becomes, okay, who are you purging? Because this can't go on like that.
Wasn't that the risk in letting Garrett go? Because when you have a coach that just can't get you to the finish line, you're trying to find the coach that will, but you also risk going backwards in the race. You had a team that was always messing around with the playoffs, always messing around with the potential of the postseason. But if you bring in a new voice, sometimes you have to take 3 steps backwards. Sometimes you get to the finish line, but then sometimes you start from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about going ahead and bringing in a guy like McCarthy, who you wanted somebody who could push you over and take you where Garrett couldn't, where Garrett, I guess, had stalled out. But the interesting thing about going for a guy like McCarthy was the way he exited Green Bay and everything, the way things had fallen apart there and the culture issues that seemed to be bubbling up there. And I think a lot of people wrote it off to, well, that's just Aaron Rodgers is a difficult guy. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is tough to get along with, but you know, now you're seeing Aaron Rodgers is getting along good with Matt LaFleur,
yeah,
and things are going well for Green Bay, and you're seeing some issues cropping up here in Dallas again. And so, yeah, I think that there's a chance that the Cowboys, you know, may have erred here. It also could just be a bumpy patch. They've had a lot of injuries. They've lost a lot of guys, and a lot of guys are frustrated. And I think the Cowboys are hoping this is just a frustration that's built up, and everybody's just a little tense right now, and that eventually things are going to smooth over. But, I mean, they only interviewed one guy. And they interviewed Marvin Lewis, but that was not a legitimate interview, I don't think. I think that was a Rooney interview. But they interviewed Mike McCarthy, and then they hired Mike McCarthy. They didn't do a lot of vetting around everything else. And so, you know, you do got to kind of wonder if the Cowboys look at this now and go, did we make a mistake here? Did we rush into this one too quickly? Was this guy really the guy for the job?
Let's get to the main injury of Dak Prescott. From just a statistical standpoint, we know what that means. And from a leadership standpoint, we can get it. But give us a little insight into his relationship with his teammates, to what he means in the locker room, and how players reacted when they realized he was out and going to be out for a while.
I mean, I think it's a testament to what Dak Prescott means to the locker room that the first week that he's gone from that locker room, you heard stuff start leaking out. And I think that everybody gravitates to that guy so strongly, and they always have. That's why they didn't go back to Tony Romo. It wasn't because Dak was a better player than Tony Romo in 2016. It wasn't because of any other reason than a chemistry thing. And they looked at it as, no, this is a guy that the players have rallied around, and it might be deflating if we go back to Tony Romo at this point, even though he's potentially a better player. He's better equipped right now to run this team from, you know, an experience standpoint and his quarterback IQ and things like that. And those are all things Dak's improved upon, but at the time he was a rookie. But they valued more the way that he had the other guys playing free and buying in. And that's the thing, is that he's a guy that naturally everybody kind of believes in and gravitates towards, and he has this ability to rally the troops and get everybody to buy in and believe that they can do it. And that sounds kind of hokey, but it matters, because you see what happens right now when you can't get people to buy in, like Mike McCarthy's struggling to do right now. Things, you know, kind of spin out of control. And so, I mean, I think from a on-the-field standpoint, it's obvious what he can do, and he's become one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But he absolutely is – he's uniquely equipped to be quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys specifically. His leadership traits and everything like that, it is a prerequisite to have strong leadership traits generally whenever you're going to be quarterback anywhere. But especially when you've got the weight of the star and then the attention that comes with being a Cowboy. And he's always handled it incredibly well. And I think that's a big reason why, not just what he does on the field, I think that's a big reason why they are eventually going to just pay him and they have so much faith in him, is because they know that between the ears, he's got it.
That is a great point, because we talk about this sometimes where we say, look, there's playing for this team, but then there's playing for the Yankees, or there's playing for the Lakers, and the Cowboys are certainly on top of that list. Being a quarterback there is different than being a quarterback at any other position. And now I want to get to that question you kind of touched on. What does this mean for Dak Prescott and his future with the Cowboys in terms of getting that deal and getting signed?
I think the joke, it seemed to be on social media on Monday, was Dak Prescott's made more money like in the Monday Night Football game than he did when he was on the field.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to realize quickly, and I think they probably already are. Again, they just see how different do things look on the field, how different do things look in the locker room, how much is this, you know, shown how, you know, it's one of those like, you know, when somebody gets a near-death experience and then they talk about how it radically changed their life. Like, this is kind of a near-death experience for the Joneses. They can see how bad this injury was, and they can get a glimpse of, here's life without Dak Prescott for a little bit, and you really want to get cute with the contract now? Yeah. And I think that's something that – I don't think there were doubts. I think there was some hardball negotiating, but if there were any doubts on their side, I think those – have been alleviated. I think from what they saw, the way he played early in the season, and now they see how things look when he's out of there, I think they're going to get it done.
All right, let's get to the defensive side. Who or what is missing from the Cowboys' defense?
I think they're missing a big thing for them. They're missing leadership, but I think it's also just some good players on that side of the ball. There are some individually talented players. There's also some areas where they're not very talented, and they've been decimated by injuries on that side as well. But I think overall they're just a bad fit with each other. And I mean, this is a historically bad defense now. They've given up 34 points or more in 5 straight games now. That ties an NFL record. They are about as bad as you can be. And I think that it's a big combination of this defense isn't as talented as they thought it was. They're not getting the pass rush that they thought they could. You're getting some low IQ, high school level mistakes and misunderstandings about assignments. And a lot of that falls on the players, but a lot of that falls on Mike Nolan and the defensive coaches and, you know, bringing it all full circle to some of the chatter about, you know, maybe some discontent with coaches. I think there's some frustration with the defensive coaching staff. And so, I mean, I think it's multi-layered, but I think there are probably four or five different reasons or factors contributing to why they're so bad. And it's created this perfect storm of just a really terrible defense. And, you know, it's the Giants had 48 points through 4 weeks coming into that game against the Cowboys, and then they scored 34 in one game. And I think that as much as people think Washington struggled, Washington can, I'd be stunned if they didn't put up at least 30 points. Mm. And so, I mean, you've got, as bad as this division is, on the road against Washington, then you're on the road against the Eagles, then you're back home for Pittsburgh. I mean, it very quickly could get to 2-7.
Yeah, sure.
And you're a 2-7 record, and you're looking at, you know, even as bad as the NFC East is, that you're getting out of the race, and you're looking at a top five pick.
Bobby, I mean this. You cover this team. You know this team more than anybody I talk to on all the other teams around the league, and I really appreciate your insight. Whenever we need Cowboy stuff, you deliver, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks. Appreciate you.
You got it. Bobby Belt, the Boys and Girl podcast on the Herd Now, and also NFL Network field producer, and he is one of the best at knowing his team. He knows the Cowboys. That's why we love having them on. It's fantastic. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. All right, speaking of the Cowboys, maybe you're a Cowboys fan and you're looking for that ultimate gift this holiday season, or to give an ultimate gift this holiday season. Well, we direct you to homefields.com. Fantastic three-dimensional stadium works of art. It's hard to describe how interesting these pieces are. You got to really take a look for them at homefields.com, but they're blocks that kind of have a three-dimensional layer to them, and when they're lit up, you really get a stadium and arena look that is second to none. They are beautiful, great for the office, great for the mantle, great for the man cave, and they come, there's all sorts of arenas, all sorts of stadiums to choose from. Some stadiums from the past, stadiums that are right now, that may be some of your favorites. Go to homefields.com. Ken Small has done a fantastic job with them. I have the old Three Rivers Stadium. It looks great. Ron has Dodger Stadium on the mantle getting ready for the World Series. They look fantastic. Go to homefields.com and check them out. 160 stadiums in Oregon to choose from. You will find the one that's right for you at homefields.com.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new loan? Rocket can. There are two things about Bobby Belt that I want to get to, what he said. There were two things on there. Well, there are a lot of things, actually, but two I want to emphasize. One, he was 100% right about being the quarterback of the Cowboys. It's different than being the quarterback anywhere else in the country, anywhere else in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's no other position like it. There's coach of Notre Dame, center field for the Yankees, point guard for the Lakers, whatever. I mean, there's certain positions that are just bigger and more important, if you will, than others. I mean, and I use important in quotes. It's not important in that it's, you know, Dallas is a better team. It's just perception wise. The quarterback of the Cowboys is just going to get a lot more attention than if you're the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even if you're Tom Brady, right? I mean, the Cowboys quarterback is a big deal. But the other thing about it is talking about Dak Prescott. So what the Cowboys have noticed, knowing that, because look, nobody loves the star more than Jerry, right? And he knows the importance and the value of that brand. Dak Prescott has shown he's up to being that guy. That he is ready to be that guy. He knows how to do it. He knows what it takes to do it. So you're not just going to go, oh, let's try to get him on the cheap or whatever, or let him walk. You don't, because you just are not going to fill him with another quarterback. because guys have come in there and can't do that job. Guys have taken on the role of being the quarterback of quote unquote America's team and have not lived up to it. And I think that's important when you look at Prescott's future with the Cowboys. They already know he can do this job. They already know he leads this team and he represents the team the right way.
I almost get the feeling that Jerry might even, I mean, this is not in Jerry's nature, but it would make a lot of sense to say, you know, wait, we're without our quarterback this year. Let's just finish out the season, see what happens. I'm not going to worry about wins and losses. We get a good draft pick. Let's build something.
Yeah, right.
Let's build a little bit more.
Second thing you mentioned was they only interviewed Mike McCarthy. They did interview Marvin Lewis, yeah, but they had their hearts and minds set on Mike McCarthy, and that might have been a mistake. Just to not listen to anyone else, just to not feel out where the landscape was in terms of coaching availability. You don't have to love a guy when you bring him in for an interview, but he might change your mind, or he might open your eyes to something else. He might present his game plan for what you are presenting as a roster, and you might say, oh, I never thought of it that way. Hold on. We might need to have a further discussion as an organization. They didn't open themselves up to any of those possibilities. They wanted McCarthy. They set their sights on McCarthy, and they landed McCarthy without playing a song and dance game with anybody else. And that may backfire. Jake Asman Show coming up next. Have a great weekend. I will see you on Tuesday. Sports Map Radio Network.